Des Cahill is back at the sport.
Yeah, good morning, Cahill. Dublin County Board begin their search for a new manager this morning after Anthony Daly and his management team stepped down yesterday as managers of the Dublin senior hurling squad. Daly had hinted at a possible departure after they lost their hurling quarterfinal to Tipperary. The pinnacle of his tenure came in 2011. Dublin beat Kilkenny to win a league title for the first time in 65 years. And of course, last year they won their first Leinster championship in 52 years. Now, his name has been linked with the Galway manager's job, and speculation already starting on who may succeed Daly with Dublin. Names in the papers include Liam Sheedy, Ger Cunningham and Donal O'Cusick. Well, the man who has to go and seek a successor now is the Dublin chairman, Andy Kettle, and he joins us now. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Des.
It's one way of taking your mind off Sunday's football, I suppose.
Well, listen, sport, it can be cruel and it can be very good to you, but Anthony Daly was very, very good to Dublin Hurling.
Yeah, you and he had a close relationship, and certainly Dublin Hurling's in a stronger place now than when he arrived.
Not a doubt in the world. Anthony brought a lot to Dublin Hurling, and you're quite right. He formed relationships not alone with me, but with other members of the county board, and particularly with his panel.
What was your standout moment from his time?
My standout moment was the league final in Croke Park when Conal Keeney put a point over from practically the tunnel area of the Hogan Stand. Was just sublime obviously, but also to get there the day in Park and Cuive where we had to have a result go our way when we beat Cork. All of those days, they conjure up superb memories.
Yeah. Well, I suppose you have to move on now. And is there a rush to get the new manager?
Well, I wouldn't say there's a rush, Des. Number one, we have to be sure that we get the right person. Like I did hear you say that there's names speculated in the media this morning. Complete news to me. As far as Dublin County Board are concerned, we have a blank spot where the name of Anthony Daly sat as a senior hurling manager. The process is that we will obviously approach some people, and some people will obviously approach us. We will evaluate those candidates and assess from our point of view who can do the best job for Dublin going forward. I would like to see it happen for the knockout stages of our local championship. That's a reasonably tight timeline. But if it doesn't happen for that, it's not the end of the world.
So, and that's kind of about a month's time. Would that be
that's
right?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Well, I wish you well with it, Andy. Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Not a problem. Thank you
very much. That's Dublin chairman Andy Kettle there. Now, the soccer headlines today dominated by transfer deadline day. Manchester United had to work late into the night to finalise the signing of the Monaco striker Radamel Falcao, but they eventually completed a season-long loan for the Colombian. They only announced his signing at 1:30 a.m. and that deal took United's summer spending past £150 million sterling. By that time, Arsenal had confirmed United striker Danny Welbeck had joined them for a reported fee of £16 million after Falcao's arrival made his chances of regular first-team football even more remote. And the presence of the Colombia international at the club's training complex late on Monday also spelled the end for Javier Hernandez, who earlier in the day joined Real Madrid on loan with a view to a permanent move. United will pay Monaco between £5 million and £6 million for Falcao for the year, and they'll cover his wages, although they insist reports that they'll be paying the 28-year-old almost £350,000 sterling a week are wide of the mark. Manchester City confirmed Alvaro Negredo has been sent on loan to Valencia, and Mika Richards has gone to the Italian side Fiorentina. Crystal Palace signed Kevin Doyle on loan from Wolves and broke their club record to sign the £7 million Wigan midfielder James McArthur. Premier League spending has been boosted by a £3 billion television deal, 70% higher than the last contract, and that's why so much money was moving around yesterday. On the pitch at home, St Patrick's Athletic advanced the quarterfinals of the FAI Ford Cup. They beat Shelburne 1-0 at Talca Park. Conan Byrne scored the goal, and St Pat's will face Bohemians in the last eight at Richmond Park. Now golf, and Paul McGinley will announce his three Ryder Cup wildcard selections at 12:30 today. Stephen Gallagher's Italian Open showing boosted his wildcard hopes, but Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood, Luke Donald, Francesco Molinari are also big contenders. So who would our golf commentator Greg Allen select?
I would certainly pick Stephen Gallagher. I think he was just superb in showing him under pressure what he had to do with the Italian Open, having almost missed the cut, shot 30 strokes in the front nine on Sunday, and then, you know, didn't stall, but he just didn't make as many birdies in the back nine and missed out by one stroke on getting an automatic spot. He did exactly what Paul McGinley asked him to do, which was burst through the finishing line, didn't quite make it. And I think, irrespective of the fact that he's a Scot, I think he deserves his place in the team on form alone.
But it's no disadvantage that he's a Scot, obviously.
Certainly no disadvantage. Yeah. Lives 35 miles away from Ochterarder, where Gleneagles is located, and that's sort of going to help to some degree, because he'll also be a Scot on a European team that's playing the Ryder Cup in Scotland. Not a bad thing.
So that's one.
I think that the second spot should go to Ian Poulter. It is very much on reputation, but Poulter was the hero of Medina. I know it's 2 years ago. He's not playing as well at the moment, but he still remains a very good putter. So if needs be, you can stick him in the four balls with a very good player alongside him who's very steady. Say McIlroy, who he played with in four ball in that famous turnaround match on the Saturday in Medina. And you've got a very good putter, because that's what you need in four ball. You can rest him for the foursomes, and then obviously he has to play the singles, and then he's on his own at that point. Lee Westwood, I think, probably deserves it by a fraction from Luke Donald, because Westwood has played 8 Ryder Cups. He has great presence in the team room. Luke Donald is still in the process of changing his swing, and I don't like the idea of putting a player under pressure who's still in that delicate process of changing his swing and putting him under the ultimate pressure of Ryder Cup. But it's very close between Donald and Westwood, because Donald has a great record in foursome.
Interesting stuff, and Greg will bring us news of that on the news at 1 today. Now, American Chris Kirk boosted his chances of a place in the US team with a 2-shot victory last night in the Deutsche Bank Championship. He finished on 15 under par. Rory McIlroy had to settle for a share of 5th place at 11 under. Finally, tennis news. Andy Murray threw to the quarterfinals of the US Open. He beat Joe Wilfred Tsong in straight sets, and a big game now. He plays the world number one Novak Djokovic.
Oh, thank you very much, Des.